I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time for another Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon netcast. And this week we have even more stuff than we had last time when we had stuff. And the stuff just keeps coming. It actually has been a little better news week this week than it has been in a little while. Because there's all kinds of things going on finally. You know, seems like in the tech industry there's this long period of silence. And then suddenly things start happening. Which is good, because without that we kind of go, what are we going to talk about? So anyway, first of all, let me get my trusty tablet here. Ye olde ViewSonic Android tablet. Indeed. This item, by the way, before I forget, lest I forget, we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Don't want to forget that. That's important, because you need to know that there's a whole network of techie broadcasts out there and netcasts and things. And if you even want to use the old term podcast. Podcasts just always seem to me to be so limiting. It's talking about iPods and that whole universe of Apple-y things. And so when Leo Laporte coined Netcast, it just seems to me to be so much more inclusive. Yes, and I'm all about inclusiveness. Not sure that's a word, but it's close. Okay, first item. New YouTube viewing option for Roku users. A long time ago, to set this particular thing up, I mentioned on the old blog of course being drbill.tv, drbill.tv, the blog of which I blog upon. Yes. I mentioned a long time ago that there was a private Roku channel. Private Roku channels are a big thing. I'll talk about that more in a bit. But there was a private Roku channel that you could get YouTube on. Dude! And it wasn't done by YouTube, Google, or anybody affiliated with them. It was kind of a rogue private channel. And so I had the code on the blog to get that. Well, that code doesn't work anymore. They must have gotten a cease and desist order from Google or something. Which is sad, because there's a lot of good YouTubery out there that I like to see on the old big screen HDTV. So now, this article that I put in here reminds us, and actually, I got to give props. Let me give some quick props here to a gentleman that wrote me an email, which I encourage you to do, by the way. Write me emails and tell me things. Give me things to talk about. Otherwise, I'll just sit here going, and you'll be bored out of your mind. Anyway, it's true. So, he says, hi, Dr. Bill. In reference to your post, there is now a nice working third-party solution to watch YouTube videos on Roku with a new Roku private channel. And the channel code and the channel itself is called Video Buzz. Notice there's no YouTube phraseology in there. I suspect that has to do with not trampling on Google's rights, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, so this has replaced the old RateRix channel, which offered a limited workaround. We recently added your channel to our list. This is Ben here from this website that is telling me that he added us to the private channel list that they maintain, and we really appreciate a mention of our website, mkvxstream.com, and our large Roku channel list on your site. So I'm not only going to mention them on the website, which I did in this entry, but I'm going to mention them here on the netcast because they do have an excellent private Roku channel store or channel listing, and I encourage you to check that out because there's all kinds of good private channels. We'll talk more about that in just a few minutes. I know I keep putting that off, but you know, it's something I want to get to when we get to it in the blog. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, now, before I go any further, let me talk to you very briefly about our sponsor this week. Our sponsor this week is, of course, Citrix Systems. As you heard at the beginning of the netcast, Citrix Systems are the authors, the producers of a wonderful service. And I'm telling you, if you haven't tried this, you need to try it. And that's GoToMeeting. I've got the banner up here. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Now, you say, ah, Dr. Bill, you know, you've talked about that before. Yeah, but there's big news. Big news I got to tell you about. And that's this. You've always been able to connect using GoToMeeting from a PC to a PC. You've been able to initiate a meeting and share your screen and collaborate. And now, with HD Faces, in the new version, you can actually see HD video, much like this video with 16:9 format, and with very clear HD video. That's awesome, but that's still not the news. You then were able to participate in a meeting if you had an iPad. And there was an iPad client that came out, you know, in the last year or so, for GoToMeeting, maybe a little longer than that. But the big news now is that you can now initiate a meeting from your iPad. Think about it. Directly from your iPad. You don't have to connect to a computer anymore. Don't have to be in the office or even have a laptop or whatever. Now you can be using your iPad and initiate a meeting with GoToMeeting. Now, that's awesome. I mean, the way we, you know, I was just talking about my tablet earlier. People are using tablets more and more and more. We're in a post-PC revolution. So this is really good news that you can use GoToMeeting initiated by an iPad. So I encourage you to go to this website, GoToMeeting.com, enter the code word podcast, and when you do that, you'll be able to get a 30-day free trial of GoToMeeting. And I encourage you to do it and do it as quickly as you can because you want to get started with that 30-day free trial. And I'm telling you, it would help the netcast, it would help techpodcast.com, and it would help you, more importantly, find out about this wonderful product, GoToMeeting. All right. You know, good new feature. I'm really kind of jazzed about that. All right. Let's look at something else here that I want you to see, and that is, and I had another email about this, as a matter of fact. Actually, wasn't an email per se. It was a YouTube comment that somebody did about the last netcast, the one that we completed last week, that included Windows 8, a run through Windows 8, and I mentioned Classic Shell. And the guy was telling me, dude, Classic Shell rocks. And of course, something else happened this week. Classic Shell got new features. They had an upgrade. And the upgrade was awesome. And I mentioned here in the post, talk about service. New features for Classic Shell. Now remember, Classic Shell is an open source project. And open source tends to be very, very responsive when it comes to adding features that people want. Well, as soon as Windows 8 came out, and as soon as people started installing Windows 8, and they started installing Classic Shell to get back the little orb, you know, and the start button, and the start menu, and all that kind of stuff, they started saying, you know what would be nice? And I thought of this. The reason I say this is great service, because I literally thought of this past week. Wouldn't it be great if on the start menu, you could have your program tree, you know what I mean when I say program tree? You got programs, and then you jet off, and there's you know, folders for your applications, you know, for your programs, and that's what we're used to. But wouldn't it be great if there was a whole separate tree for apps? And by that, I mean Metro-style apps. Now, I know Microsoft had to drop the Metro term. Now they just call it Windows 8 applications. But anyway, wouldn't it be great to split those out and be able to get to them from Classic Shell? Well, no sooner did I think that that the great people at Classic Shell had an inspiration. They said, you know, Dr. Bill's thinking about doing this. We need to, you know, fix this. And so they jumped right on it, and my goodness, it's cool. Dude. So, let's go into a little demonstration. This is what the guy on YouTube suggested to me. Why don't you do a run-through demonstration of the newest version of Classic Shell? So that's what we're going to do right now.
All right, we're going to be looking at the Classic Shell menu system here on my Windows 8 install. I've also installed a NASA theme, so you may see our background shifting between scenes of NASA spacescapes. So that's kind of cool. But anyway, let's take a look at our start button here, which was added by Classic Shell. Now, I mentioned in the blog this past week that Classic Shell has a new version, and here's what I like about the new version specifically. We have the Programs menu, which is like our Windows 7 days, but we also have the Apps menu. Now, these are all the new Metro or Windows 8, depending on, you know, they had to retire the name Metro apps. So these are all the applications that I have installed that are the new app paradigm. The other thing you'll notice is that they have expanded this out. I think it looks cleaner and nicer. The one thing you will notice is that you're missing the accessories folder here. That's no longer part of Windows. However, what I've done is I've moved the calculator and the notepad into the main menu here, and that's actually fairly straightforward to do, and I'll be showing you that tip here in just a few minutes. For right now, though, what I want to show you is something I think is really important, and to do that, let me close this out and then come down here and open up the Charms menu and go to Start. And here, of course, is the regular Windows 8 screen. What I want to do is go over here to the I pointed these out last time, these Classic Shell settings, but what I want to look at are the Classic Explorer setting window here. Alright, you can set options, and there are basic settings, there are all settings, which allows you to set all kinds of different options. And then go back to that menu once again, the Classic Start menu settings, and the one that I want to show you is all the way down here at the bottom. This is very important. Skip Metro Screen. If you check that, then when your system boots, it will skip going to the Metro screen. Now, I mentioned that they've kind of retired the word Metro, but Classic Shell, it still has it in their menu structure. Apparently, Microsoft ran into an issue with the term or phrase Metro. They didn't get it, you know, trademarked or whatever, and so they found out that somebody else already had it. But that allows you to skip that screen when the system reboots. So that's kind of an important thing to add in there. So again, this is a really handy menu system, and it really brings back the features that I normally would want to use as though it were Windows 7 instead of Windows 8. And if you want Windows 8, you just go to the Charms menu and bam, there's all your settings. You can still search for things. You can still set up your devices and so forth. But it's just really, really nice to be able to come into the regular shell that we're used to, the Classic Shell. Now, I mentioned I wanted to show you something. If you go down here to the Start button, right click, and then do an Open of All Users. Okay, this is very similar to what you're used to back in the earlier Windows days. And if you click Open here, you'll see that here's all your folders and the programs that are listed in the Programs options. So all you have to do is create a shortcut in here for your calculator and your notepad. I think I must have created that under my account instead of under all users, so it's not showing up here. But that allows you then, by putting that there, creating a shortcut, which of course just right click and create shortcut and so forth. Then when you come back over here to Programs, you'll be able to find your calculator, and in my case, because I put it in my profile, Notepad. And you say, what's the big deal about that? Well, those are just two things that I typically would go to accessories for, and having it here is really handy. So, again, for you, you may not ever use them, but there may be programs that you want to add in here, so that shows you how you can add them very easily. Let's see, is there anything else I wanted to mention in this little run through? I think the big thing is, oh, I know what it is. One thing that I found that is really interesting is that the windowing system seems to be so much snappier. Everything just comes up quickly and smoothly, and I found out today as I was watching Techzilla, which I tend to try to watch every week, they had Lloyd Case on, who is a PC hardware expert, and he was talking about Windows 8, and one of the things he mentioned is that the menuing system is now based on Microsoft's DirectX technology, which is based basically on, you know, done for games, for video games and so forth. And so it's highly optimized in terms of video. Well, that's why all of the menu system options are so much faster. And let me go back to the start screen here. And you can see that if we start, let's say Notepad, that's a Windows application. See, boom! You see how fast that was? That is because of that DirectX technology, and it makes the whole operating system just feel so much faster. It's like getting an upgrade just by going to Windows 8. Of course, you are getting an upgrade of the operating system, but I mean an upgrade of your hardware, an upgrade in speed. It's really impressive. So again, I'm finding a lot to like about Windows 8 if you add in Classic Shell, because that is a tremendous addition. And of course, the Classic Shell folks, I think they're getting a lot of publicity for that open source project because of Windows 8 and people that are looking for options to add back in the menu system. And so they're really improving it and adding new things like the Windows 8 apps being added into the menu as a separate menu. I love that. I think it's such a good idea to be able to separate your old style quote programs from the new style apps and be able to keep them separate, because these are applications that we're not used to having that are new to us, so they're keeping them in a separate menu. It makes it really, really handy. So, hope you enjoy that, and keep looking into Windows 8, those of you that are interested in it. I find myself surprisingly, enthusiastic about it. I've had several people comment about how unusual it is for me to be enthusiastic about a Microsoft operating system, but really, this is pretty slick compared to what I was expecting. I think that's the thing. I had developed very low expectations, and they have actually done a pretty good job with it. So, again, Windows 8, Classic Shell, great combination.
Pretty cool stuff, huh? Dude, I'm telling you, open source rocks. Microsoft taketh away, but open source giveth it back. Yes, indeedy. Alrighty, Disney is buying Lucasfilm. What? Actually, they did the deal. It's like a $4.2 billion deal. Wow. That's a lot of jelly beans. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, as somebody pointed out, you know, George Lucas will never have to work again. He could just take it easy. He says he's actually going to make some small personal movies that he's always wanted to make. Okay. But as for me, I am going to enjoy the new Star Wars movies. Yes, you heard right. Not only has Disney bought Star Wars, they're going to complete the trilogy of movies. See, there was supposed to be three movies, starting with Star Wars, which became Episode 4. This gets confusing, so bear with me. Episode 4, 5, and 6 was the first trilogy, which was supposed to be the middle section. Then they went back to the beginning and did 1, 2, and 3, which were the beginning section. And there was supposed to be a 7, 8, 9 to close out the saga. Yes. And Lucas went, I don't think so. He toyed with it, but he never really committed. You know what I'm saying? Well, Disney, since they bought Star Wars, is going to do 7, 8, and 9 of Star Wars. And it will, and this is the part I like, it will continue the story of Luke and Leia and everything after that. Yes. Will Han Solo be there? I kind of doubt it, because Han Solo is played by Harrison Ford, and Harrison Ford went, he really didn't care for being Han Solo. So I don't know that he'll be in it. Maybe they'll kill him off. I don't know. Know what I'm saying? But Luke and Leia, now that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, that Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher will be in the movies. But, you know, it would be so cool for them to do that. Go ahead and reprise their roles of being Luke and Leia, older, obviously, and have kids like in the Star Wars books. Jason and Ben and Jaina. Yes. So they could have a whole new next generation of Star Wars. Get it? And they could have more movies. And I like that idea. Ken has more Star Wars? Yes. Cool. All right. Next item. I was mentioning earlier that I wanted to do something about the Roku list of private channels. I've had so many people say, where are more lists of private channels? Well, guess what? I got a whole list of lists. A list of lists. I'm not talking about the composer list. L-I whatever Z-T. No, not list. But lists. Yeah, Fred, I know. Yeesh. Anyway, Fred likes to throw these comments to keep me straight. Or at least keep me curmudgeonly on edge. I don't know. Anyway. So, this list of lists. For instance, did you know? You probably did if you watch this netcast at all. You probably know that we have our own private Roku channel. Our own official private Roku channel with the code word Dr. Bill TV. No dot. Dr. Bill TV. If you use that special code word, you can go to https://owner.roku.com/ad. That line. Go there. There'll be a box. In that box, type Dr. Bill TV. Hit the button, and it will add it to your Roku box. Now, here's the key. Here's the trick. You gotta, even when, once you've done that, you go into the Roku channel store. Now you say, but Dr. Bill, the private channels aren't in the channel store. I know, but you got to go into the channel store, wait there for like 30 seconds or longer, then exit out of the channel store, and that triggers a refresh of your account from the website. You see what I'm saying? And when that happens, that's when your new private channel will be added. Okay, so do that. Go ahead and subscribe to the DrBillBailey.net channel, the official channel of this netcast and all the videos that I do. Dude. Now, over 220 households have connected to that private channel. Dude, that's awesome. Keep them coming. Spread the word. Send emails. Tell your friends. They'll go, why? But do it. If they don't have a Roku box, buy them one for Christmas and then tell them and get them to hook up. And you can even hook them up. You can even set up the Roku box and join them to the DrBillBailey.tv channel. Yes. I want to see those numbers climb. Cool. All right. Here's the list of lists. Stream Free TV, which, by the way, the gentleman there at Stream Free TV is the one that helped me get started developing private channels. Dude, this guy knows what he's doing. I'm telling you. And he has a list of private Roku channels that is amazing. That's why I list him first. Dude, he has been such a help to me personally. And he has a great list of channels. So check that out. Catastrophe Girls Roku Channel Data at blogspot.com. It's a long name. But Catastrophe Girl has got a great list of Roku channels as well. Then there's one that's called, interestingly enough, roku-channels.com. Pretty straightforward. That great list. Then rokuguide.com/private-channels. Another great list. Then the one we mentioned earlier, run by Ben, and I want to give him some props. Now, not Ben, my son, but another gentleman named Ben. mkvxstream.blogspot.com, and he has a private channel list, so check that out. And then almostaccurate.com/Roku has a list. Now, there's a lot more than that, but these are the ones that are kind of the ones that I like to check out, because you will find, if there's a private channel, I'm telling you, you'll find it on these lists. So there, here on the blog, drbill.tv, is a list of lists. And if you will go to drbill.tv, even after this is off the front page, and type in list of lists, plural, then you will find this entry and always have a nice handy list of private Roku channels. It's a service that we like to provide for you. Yes. Okay. Next item here, Windows 8 tip, screenshots. I do screenshots all the time because I do stuff like the blog entries and all that, and I'm always having to do screenshots. Well, in Windows 8, they made screenshots really simple. You know, back in the day, you had to have a special little tool to do screenshots, and now you can do it with a GIMP, and you can do it all kinds of different ways. Well, in Windows 8, they've added a feature where you can hit the Windows key and the print screen key. It'll not only grab your whole screen, it'll go ahead and save it to a file. So it's like, bloop, and you're done. Okay? Pretty cool. Neat little tip and trick there. Whoa! Yes! For the Geek Software of the Week. Geek Software of the Week this week is the SysTools Free Windows Password Reset Boot Disk. It's kind of a long name, isn't it? Well, it's not even really its official name. I guess its official name is Windows NT/2K/XP/Vista/Change/Password/Registry/Editor/Boot/CD, which is even longer. Anyway, what it is a tiny, tiny little Linux bootable CD that takes you into a tool, utility, that allows you to reset, this is what I like to use it for, reset the administrator password in Windows to have a blank password. Because I've run into this situation quite a bit, where particularly if I have created a virtual PC, you know, maybe testing an operating system, doing whatever, and I set it up, and then I go, you know, time goes by, and I go, what did I use for the administrator password? I don't remember. So this tool, you say, how do you use it in the virtual world? Well, here's how you use it in the virtual world. You take the ISO that you download, you map it to the CD/DVD drive, you know, function in your virtual machine, then you set it, like in VMware, you'd go into the settings and set it so that it boots into the BIOS, change your BIOS so that it boots off the CD, make sure the CD is attached, virtually speaking, you understand, and then it will boot off this ISO, and you'll be able to go in and change the password to blank. I like blankness. Yes. So anyway, set it to blank, and then when you boot up the actual virtual machine, in this case, then you type in administrator with blank for the password, hit the button, boom, you're in there. Then you can always change it to something else, which I encourage you to do. Don't leave it blank. No. Leaving your administrator password blank would be bad. Okay? Just saying. Anyway, but it's a great way to hack into a system. And I know some of you are going, what? Horrors, Dr. Bill is advocating hacking into systems. Systems you built and forgot the password, not hacking into other people's systems. Besides, here's a tip, security tip for you guys. Physical access to the actual box kind of circumvents all the security you could put on it. If I can physically get to your box, dude, I can get into it. You know what I'm saying? So, just saying. But this is really handy for those system administrators like me that forget things occasionally and need to reset the password. You can set other passwords with it actually as well, but it's just really quick and easy to go ahead and reset the administrator password. And then once you're administrator, dude, you can do anything you want. You know what I'm saying? You've got the power. Yes. You know, I've had people tell me, you realize, of course, that you're a system engineer because you love power. Maybe. Okay. Let's do some geek wisdom, shall we? All right, geek wisdom. From the book Geek Wisdom, The Sacred Teachings of Nerd Culture. Geek wisdom for this week. I'm having to adjust my eyes so I can read this print. And that is this. Here's this week's. Face it, Tiger, you just hit the jackpot. Quoth Mary Jane Watson from The Amazing Spider-Man. Yes. Okay, one of the most dramatic entrances in comic book... Entrances? In comic book history was more than the introduction of a vivacious, sexy redhead. Although it certainly was that. It was also a lesson in the nature of expectations. For months, Peter Parker's elderly aunt had been nattering on about her friend's niece, Mary Jane Watson. But Peter just rolled his eyes and brushed off the old bird's ham-fisted attempt at matchmaking with nary a second thought. He never expected that Mary Jane would be so wow. That's the thing about life. We find gems in the most unexpected places. Always down on his luck, confused and confounded by the opposite sex, and burdened with personal problems that never seem to go away. A guy like Peter Parker doesn't expect much to come his way. Do any of us? Yet there she was, the famous comic book panel of Mary Jane standing in the doorway, a cat who ate the canary grin on her face, while Peter reels, stunned at seeing such a knockout, has come to define having your pessimistic expectations shattered. The jolt of something so happily vibrant is a jackpot indeed. And I remember that panel from that Spider-Man comic book. They drew her, you know, it's like the old Jessica Rabbit quote, "I'm not bad, they just drew me that way." And they drew Mary Jane primo, shall we say. So she's standing there in the doorway, and he's never met her. This is the comic book version, not the movie version where they knew each other from when they were little kids. This is the comic book version where they had never met, and it was a blind date, and Peter had finally agreed to go on the blind date. And then she's standing there at the door, and she says, quote, "Face it, Tiger, you just hit the jackpot." Yes. Okay, so that was his take on that event. And now for the very tiny, microscopic, fine print. Woo boy, one of the bitterest comic book flame wars of the decade was prompted when Marvel Comics decided to retroactively undo Peter and Mary Jane's two-decade-long marriage via a literal deal with the devil to save Aunt May's life. Yes, I have not read that particular storyline, and I probably won't. The idea of Peter Parker making a deal with the devil to divorce Mary Jane to save Aunt May, no. Let's just say no. Okay, forget it. So in my mind, they're still happily married. Yes. Call me an old romantic, but that's just the way I like to think about it. So, there you go. So anyway, you know, what can I say? I like happy endings. I don't like these endings that get all tangly and weird and crazy and stuff. Give me a happy ending any old day. So, hope you enjoyed this week. Remember until next time that the doctor is out of here.
Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.